I'd like to have us look at Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 12 today. Those of you who have Bibles and those who don't, listen along, please. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and salute no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that town." Now, the first thing we have to learn when we meet Jesus Christ is how to receive. And we have to be broken enough to admit that we need some help. We have to be poor in spirit enough to see ourselves as that sick man who needs to be healed, that sinful woman who needs to be forgiven, that dead child that needs to be raised to life. See, nothing happens until we really come to the end of ourselves and admit our condition and cry out to the living God. Really cry. Then the cry of our heart is heard, and the Son of God comes, and the miracle happens. We are touched by his hand. But after we have begun to follow Jesus as his disciples, and we're committed to him, we're born again, there's another lesson that we need to learn. Just as we had to learn to stand in the place of the sick man or the sinful woman or the dead child and receive that touch from the hand of the Son of God, so now, as his disciples, we have to learn to stand in the place of Jesus and in his name to minister to those around us the same life that he ministered to us. And it is this lesson that many of us just are not learning. And the reason we're not learning it is not because we don't understand, but because we will not do it. We want to be on the receiving end, constantly on the receiving end. We simply don't want to go out and minister forth God's grace. Well, we give all kinds of excuses, and we'll deal with those. But is it not true, see, that we forever want to be ministered unto, and very, very rarely actually get down to the business of ministering the grace of the living God to somebody else? And our churches and our fellowships encourage this all too often. They subtly encourage us to come for our weekly blessing. You know, it's almost as if we get healed and saved again and again and again and again, and nothing ever happens in our actual concrete life. Now, of course, it's true that there are places in our lives right now that need healing. And there are indeed situations in all of our hearts. There are dead spots in our hearts that need to be raised to life. And whenever we approach the throne of God, certainly we need to be forgiven. And we need to be reminded of that forgiveness again and again. But if that is all that ever happens when we gather here, you see, all we really ever do is get healed and saved again and again and again, then you can be sure that slowly the well of life will dry up. And after a while, there will be no healing left and there will be no salvation left. This place will be as dry as a bone. When are we going to learn that the reason we are gathered together in this place by the Spirit of God, let's hope, is that we might be sent forth by the Lord himself under the anointing of his Spirit to minister healing and salvation to somebody else. Now, many of us are afraid to believe, even though we say we know the Lord, that we are these God-sent men and women, God-anointed people. We just don't feel capable. What can I do, we say. This passage that we're looking at in Luke chapter 10 was addressed to 70 people who were no better equipped in themselves to minister the life of God to the world around them than you and I. They didn't have clerical collars. They hadn't been to seminary. They didn't know all the answers. They weren't DDs. They were ordinary people. And yet Jesus sends these people out with a fantastic command to heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom, and where you're not received, shake the dust from your feet. And you can be sure that these people went out in fear and trembling. They didn't go out saying, oh boy, now we're going to really do things. They were scared. They found it very difficult, you can be sure, to believe that they could be used in this way by God. But when they came back, they were all filled with joy. Lord, why, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus answered and said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions. Nothing is going to hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that spirits are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Now, this passage in Luke 10 is preserved to us not merely as some kind of museum curiosity to show us how Jesus did it once upon a time. But in this passage are contained all the basic things that you and I need to know and do as we carry out this gospel at this late hour into the world around us and call people into the kingdom. In this passage, Jesus is speaking also to us. He's telling us how we are to regard ourselves, how we are to go out, and what we are to do. And the first thing he makes clear to us is that when we go out, we do not go out alone. We don't just go out two by two, but in addition to this, we go out knowing that the Lord himself is right behind us. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come. We go out there knowing that we'll hardly get the words out of our mouths before the Spirit of the living Christ will be right there to confirm them. Now, we don't save anybody. No, we don't convert people. Jesus does this. We go out with a message that Jesus is coming and he's going to minister life and salvation and healing to you. And wherever that message is received, we know that it will be confirmed. The Lord will come. We go out there knowing that the word of God which goes forth from our mouths will not return to God void, but it will accomplish what it was sent to do. It will prosper in the thing for which it was sent. The next thing we notice here is that we go out as lambs among wolves. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. See, we are not lions. We're not spiritual tigers. We're not Batman or Superfly. We're lambs. and we are to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We are not going out there to argue with people or to talk them to death or to outshout them or to prove that they're wrong or to attract attention to ourselves. We are going out there as lambs of God under the Lamb of God himself to invite them into the kingdom. And we're lambs in the midst of wolves. And when a lamb goes in the midst of wolves, if he's at all smart, you know, he does what he's sent to do and leaves it go at that. He doesn't aggravate the wolves. He doesn't go around pulling their tails. Third thing we see here, and this is where we all get stuck. We got stuck in this morning. We are to go out knowing that our security as we go out is not money or clothes or friends, but only God. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, salute no one on the road. See, and what happens is again and again, what we want to do is get ourselves really established before we begin to proclaim the gospel. We want to have the right connections. We want to set up the right circumstances. You know, we want to have the right image. We want to look good. And we're forever saluting people on the road. Hi there! Not because we care about them, but because we want them to have the right opinion of us. We might need them sometime. Now, Jesus is telling us, look, you are already established with God. That's all you need. Don't waste your time trying to establish yourselves with men. Get on with your job. You don't need a surplus of money, and you don't need to have the right clothes, and you don't need to have those good connections. In fact, those things are going to get in your way. They will make you forget that the only thing you do need is me. Now, the fourth thing we see in here is that we go out as ambassadors of peace. Always. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a son of peace is there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you. Always, the first thing we give is the peace of God. Always. You know, and the truth of the matter is that all too often, that's not what we bring. See, now, maybe our visit will be followed by war. Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. And what he means is when he leaves many a place, then people get into each other's throats and they start to argue and a family is divided. That happens. Judgment of God may fall. But our approach is always as a lamb, always with peace, always with good news. You know, and most of us are far too stingy with the peace of God. You know, we're looking for an opportunity to climb into somebody's case. And that's not what he's telling us to do here. He's saying the first thing you do is bring peace. And he also, notice, doesn't say check them out and see if they'll be receptive and then give them peace. But he says pray peace upon that place first off. You know, and if the Son of Peace is there, it will rest upon that person. If not, your blessing isn't going to be wasted. It'll come back to you. So the first thing, always, you know, we pray the peace of God upon any person and any house that we visit, whether it's a 40-room mansion in Birmingham or a 3-room flat on Brush. Then, the next thing he tells us is that when we are received, we are to behave as guests. Not as snobs, not as self-righteous boors, which we so often are, but as guests. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Now, obviously, Jesus is telling these people going out that when you get to the village, you stay with one family. You don't move around from family to family. That's true. But the basic thrust of that teaching is that we are to behave as guests, as gracious, thoughtful guests. And oh, how we need this. Whether we're working Woodward Avenue or the Carnival Bar or some family that sent a child to Bible school, or going to see our long-lost cousin. You know, when we go there in the name of Jesus, we are always there as guests. And we don't say, oh, I don't eat pork. Oh, all you got is white bread. I only eat brown bread. You know, don't you have any shredded wheat? That's all I eat for breakfast, is shredded wheat. Eat what is set before you. Don't get into arguments. Treat those people with respect. Maybe they don't have as much money in the bank as you do. That doesn't mean anything. You're their guest. Maybe they have 50,000 times as much and you feel more righteous.
I'm a poor disciple and you're a rich slob.
You're their guest. And we cannot expect the blessing of God if we don't think and act that way. Now, after all this, by way of preparation, and every one of these things is important, then Jesus gets us down to the basic thing we have to offer when we get there. We've already ministered peace to the house, but now he says, to these people who receive us, we are to heal the sick and tell them that the kingdom of God has come into their midst. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And we are not to be afraid to encourage these people who receive our message and us to expect healing from God. You know, they've received us as ambassadors of the Christ, and they're going to be touched by the hand of Christ through us. So we pray for the sick there. And we pray for the needs of that house. We manifest the kingdom of God. You know, you don't come in there proclaiming judgment. You come in there manifesting the kingdom of God, God's grace. And God will confirm your words. Then you tell them, the kingdom of God has come into your midst. Now, a lot of us have this all messed up. This is for the preachers, or this is for Oral Roberts, or T.L. Osborne, or somebody else, you know. That's junk. This is for every believer who follows Jesus Christ. These signs shall follow them that believe. They're going to have big tents and make a lot of money. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, whoever they are. They shall speak with new tongues, and so forth and so on. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And then, finally, and always as the very last thing, if necessary, where the gospel is not received, we proclaim God's judgment. We proclaim the kingdom of God as judgment. We don't start out by coming on with a judgment of God. We come on first with peace, with a message of hope, with good news. We come with healing. We offer blessings. But if it's not received, then it's our duty to warn that the kingdom of God has come near. And when they reject the kingdom of God, they bring judgment on themselves. Whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, we shall be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Now, granted, if they reject me because I'm a slob, or if they reject me because I'm self-righteous, if they reject me because I'm a hypocrite, or because I'm a freeloader, I can pronounce God's judgment on them until doomsday comes. It doesn't mean a thing. And this often happens. You know, people come in acting like little babies, making all kinds of ridiculous demands, and then when they're not treated like kings, they pronounce damnation on the whole place, and everybody gets scared. But if we go there as Jesus tells us to go, in his spirit, and if we minister his life, and we are ruled by his peace, and the gospel of the kingdom of God is rejected, then it is our responsibility under God, as a sign of God's judgment, to wipe the dust from our feet and move on. Certainly I don't have to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Glenn would like that. That Jesus Christ has touched and healed all kinds of lives in this room. Not only that, but if there is anybody here today who comes with a need, who hasn't come into the kingdom yet, who's searching, or maybe you're not even looking for the kingdom, you're just looking for some kind of help, some kind of healing. I say in the name of the Lord, Jesus is here. And he's here to meet you at that point where your need is. And he's going to touch you. And if it'll help you to come down, you come down here and kneel when we pray. Or if you want to cry out to him there in the privacy of your own heart, you do that. But he'll answer the cry of your heart. He'll manifest himself to you today. But the primary reason for our being here today is to receive not just healing for ourselves, but power to go out there and give God's grace to that crumbling world beyond those walls, beyond the walls of our homes, everywhere we go. I'm going to read this once more, and may the Spirit of God just anoint our minds as we listen. It's addressed to us. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and salute no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near.'" May God help us to apply these words of our Lord as we go forth from this place today. Let's wait upon him in prayer.